Welcome to Season 2 of SharePint, as we continue to tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host. Today I'm talking with Dan Baumiller from Full Tilt Brewing. Thanks for being on the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Now, Full Tilt started as a contract brewery at Peabody Heights about 6 years before you opened this tap room here in about December 2018. So tell us how that helped you build your brand recognition before you actually opened your facility.
Well, like you said, we started contract brewing out of Peabody. We brewed our first batch in December of 2012. It exploded out of the gates. We definitely got our name out there, for sure. It, you know, got us some experience and to really feel out the market and become part of the business. You know, we were hoping it was only going to be about 2 or 3 years before we could open up our own spot. And, you know, 2 or 3 years turned into 6 or whatever it was. And so it was a grind and soul crushing at times to try to get funded to get your own spot, because we always wanted to get our own spot. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, it was good. Aside from the brand exposure, it settled us down into like this smaller taproom vibe that you see here, mm-hmm. Which is like where the future and the present is, as opposed to like if we had bought some oversized like monstrosity somewhere in Baltimore. So I mean, it's our path, and we couldn't, you know, that's how we chose and how we got there. But, you know, you can't go back and change it.
So, well, that's good, though. Like you said, you were able to find some positives out of it, even though I'm sure you guys were itching to get going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Well, one of the things I think that might surprise our audience is that despite the fact that, you know, Full Tilt's been very successful, both you and fellow co-founder Nick Fertig both have full-time jobs outside the brewery. So talk a little bit about that and then maybe the challenges that comes along with that.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Kind of like when we kicked off, you know, we both had mortgages and, you know, I had a wife and like a kid shortly on the way. And, you know, Nick has worked his way into the same territory. I have 3 kids. Nick has 2. And we've just found that if we cannot take a cent out of this business and just put everything that we physically can into it, mm-hmm. and, you know, provide for other people, that that just seems to be working better. And, you know, we're willing to give everything that we can to try to keep this place going. Mm-hmm. It creates challenges. You know, we're not here as much as we'd like, and it makes it tough. But it's not because we don't care. It's just that we weren't funded in such a way that we could afford to open any other way.
Right.
You know, Nick and I are first cousins. There's no like great wealth in our family whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And we just, this was the only way we could do things. You know, we got some investors to even open up this spot, and that's what it took. But this is just, you know, this is our path. You know, of course, I'd rather have started this when I was 22 and like unattached, and then, you know, could just work just to build it and for nothing else. But our path was our path, and it's not because we're not passionate about it, I'll tell you that.
No, there's you can tell that. I mean, you all you got to do is follow social media and things that you guys do, and the passion's definitely there. I was just curious what types of challenges and maybe how you overcame them. So you're not here as often as you'd like to be. How are you making up for that? Is it about the staff you hired? Is it about, you know, what is that?
Well, like the internet and messaging, like, is obviously crucial. Like, you know, you couldn't do it in like an era outside of this one. Like, it just wouldn't physically be possible.
Yeah.
You know, we had like, the business is seemingly run over Google Chat, good and bad.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of challenges. Most of them, anyone could assume, you could assume, and anyone listening or watching this could assume. It's just tough, you know, like you can't be there to see like, oh, hey, like someone should pick that up. You know, we just get in here as much as we can. It's mostly self-explanatory things, but like you said, we try to hire as good of a staff as we can to try to mitigate these things. And you know, we have a pretty good staff now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very strong staff, but it's still a challenge. You know, be lying to you if I said it wasn't.
Right. But again, to your credit, you're making it work and work at a level that, like I said, I think it would really surprise you know, our audience that you guys aren't here more often or as much as you'd like to be or even full time. I think it's a little bit different in a brewery. At some point, some people are like, okay, I get to a certain point and then I have to, you know, quit my full-time job. But you guys are managing to make both parts of it work. And like you said, put more resources back into the business to help it grow. So kudos to you and Nick for being able to pull that off.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, people have always said to us, like, It's good. I mean, obviously the people that work for us know what the deal is, and the people that are close for, to us know how we operate. But people always, like in the industry, they realize that we're working full-time jobs, and they say, I can't believe that it's just the two of you guys and you work regular jobs during the week and you've been able to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, you know, I would just say it's a testament to like how much we care.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we don't want to fail, and we are passionate about it. If we could afford to, we'd be here three times more than we are, to say the least. Yeah, so that's the goal. We're going to get there.
That's great. Well, while we were trading messages during the pandemic, you and I found out that we both live fairly nearby in Carroll County, and in fact, your in-laws have a farm right down the road from me. Talk about that, because you said that you send your spent grain there. So I imagine that's a pretty great relationship that you both benefit from. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously you don't want to waste anything, you know, and there's a tremendous amount of spent grain, spent barley in the brewing process. And you have to take it somewhere.
Yeah.
And so you want to work with farms. It's a little tough. You know, we're in Baltimore City, and, you know, there's not like a farm in our backyard that we can just like take it down the street to. So it works out. My my in-laws have a farm in Hampstead, Maryland. It's called Deep Run Farms. And then they also they keep some cattle out by you. Mm-hmm. Off of, what's that, New Decker and Hauk Road?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, Hauk Farm, they call it. I'm not sure what it's exactly called. But, yeah, so either my in-laws come get the grains after Jordan's done brewing, or, like, after a couple of brews, or I take it in my 2007 Nissan Frontier. I'll tell you, I tore up the clutch. I don't know, it's been a couple of years that I've been doing that, and I needed a new clutch in that thing. A couple of months back, and my dad said to me, hey, you know, I was thinking, like, that might have something to do with taking all those grains. I was like, yeah.
You think?
I very much think, because it's way more weight than it's supposed to be hauling, but you kind of do what you have to do just to keep things going.
I'm sure the car smells great, too. They put, like, 20 air fresheners in it.
It smells like cow manure, but, like, it washes away. Because you'd have to see the process of when I unload those things. That's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Half the time I'd be doing this in the dark, whether it be before the sun rose or like after when I was leaving here.
Mm-hmm.
But you drive out and you push the barrel over, and then you pull back and you push the next barrel over, and it's like, say, six can fit in my truck. No, because I'm not supposed to do more than three. So I'd say I'll push out three and I'll roll them down the hill, but you're rolling through cow manure. And the cows are crowding you, and it's a wild scene. I've just become tougher with them because they'll crowd you otherwise, so you kind of have to show them who's boss and, like, you know, kind of clap and yell and get them away, because you could get seriously hurt by, like, a steer or a bull.
Right.
Nothing to play with. I've had some fun in your neck of the woods. I was just by there like a week ago or so. Like, I think I just drove right past your house. So
probably
pretty funny.
That's crazy. Small world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you and Nick are big music fans, especially live music. So share with our audience the story behind Beer Maria. Count me in.
Okay, that's a really fun one. So we had a connection with Alex Gaskart, the singer of All Time Low.
Mm-hmm.
They're a local to here, Towson and Timonium, you know, North Baltimore area. One of our investors and one of our good friends, or long-term friends, our real estate agent even, Mike Rocco, his sister is married to Alex, so his brother-in-law is Alex. And Mike was even in the music industry for a long time,
mm-hmm.
including playing random gigs in Carroll County. Out by us, but he even toured Europe with Daughtry, so like he had been in the business. I guess he didn't quite make it all the way, but you know, he certainly had some success. He brought Alex on as an investor in like the very last minute of when we had investment available.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex has been like a big supporter of this place, and my buddy Sean Dubik just kind of came up with the fun idea of, instead of Dear Maria, we just call it Beer Maria. And you know, that's their hit from 2008, and that thing keeps spinning up. And the COVID TikTok era, like, that's become like a meme. That it was never a phase; it's a lifestyle. The emo
mm-hmm.
music. So that thing just keeps going. And All Time Low is actually doing tremendously well during the pandemic. But right before everything shut down, it was January 26, 2020, right before the world was about to change, we had this massive concert right where me and you sit. We're sitting where the stage was.
Ooh.
And then, you know, they debuted like their first single off that album, literally right here.
Awesome.
And man, you know, it's one of the best days. It's one of the most fun times I've ever had, but it's one of the best days you could ever have here. It was wild. It was packed in here. It would pretty much give people anxiety attacks, you know, in this COVID era. But, you know, hopefully it's going away and it becomes normalized again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that you've talked about doing more tie-ins between your beers and musical acts. And then, like you just said, having them perform here at Full Tilt. Once that's the thing again.
Yeah.
So can you tease any of the musical acts that we might see here in the future?
Well, yeah, that was the plan. You know, back in January or back in February, you know, and it just, everything kind of came crashing down. So I don't really know who wants to come back. Like, we had something good seemingly going with Jimmy from Jimmy's Chicken Shack. I'm sure that's going to come back, I would imagine, because he stays in the area.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, we're going to do something with Tears to the Night. Our good friend Steve Wozniak, that plays in the band, we're definitely going to do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
He had some really fun ideas. But that was going to be really a model that was going to take us through 2020, and it just all got eviscerated. I just had so many meetings lined up and so many events that I thought were going to happen, and they just didn't.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, it's going to come back around. You know it will. And the musical acts, I mean, we know the music industry has really been hit by this as well. So they're going to be anxious to get back out. It'll be exciting to have some big-time live music acts here at Full Tilt. Maybe a little beer tie-in as well.
Yeah, that was the model. Yeah, I apologize. So, like, yeah, we made Beer Maria. It was a blonde ale, like, in honor of that, and then tied it with a concert.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be the idea for some of the bigger musical acts, that we would do those kind of things, like a themed beer around like what this band is known for.
Mm-hmm.
I know like Jimmy wanted to do something with CBD or cannabis. You know, we will work something out. That might have been terpenes or something that we could legally do, but at least at this time. But yeah, that is to be the model. So I think we will work out like a fun like 90s themed beer with, say, Here's to the Night, because they're a 90s cover band.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff, just something fun. Like something fun with the artwork, but also something fun and symbolic with like the beer style. So, you know, we're just having fun. That's what we think it's all about.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, speaking of fun, yeah, you have a number of interesting beer series, and they each kind of have some unique stories. So let's touch on each one briefly and start with Hops the Cat.
Okay. Yeah, Hops the Cat. I'm not sure how much he's showing up in camera, but I'm sure he will show up. But we're sitting in his shadow at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's pretty intimidating. Yeah, that was Nick's cat at his apartment when we started brewing back in Glen Burnie, like back in home brewing back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Just a super fun cat. Basically behaved like a dog. I don't know how to put that. Like, he's just very lovable, and like, you know, you could play with him and he wouldn't get too sassy with you. And so we always joked about naming a beer Hops the Cat, and then he passed away, gosh, it's been in 2014 maybe or something, and we came up with the Hops the Cat IPA, and that's kind of become a mascot or like a new flagship for us. Previously it was Baltimore Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
But Hops the Cat's really taken off, and we've done kind of morphed that into comic beer styles, and it's really done well by us, and you know, it helps that the beer was good, but it's just fun.
That's actually the first one that I found out about you guys. Was I heard about the Hops the Cat and the comic and kind of the adventure story, and I was like, what? This is awesome, and let's track this down. It was Full Tilt, kind of in my backyard.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. Cool. So isn't there kind of like a few panels or something that kind of gets released every time you...
We turn it kind of into a series. So basically we've kept it to IPAs,
mm-hmm.
but we'll do different IPAs, and it will be, so Galactic Cat was volume one, like the first in the Hops the Cat adventure series. And then we had like Volstead's Revenge, which is like his villain, you know, his Joker to Batman.
Nice.
You know, that was episode two, and it's kind of gone on, and we've worked with a different local artist on each and every one of those. And then we have them, you know, we have them do the label,
mm-hmm.
we have them do a poster, like kind of something that we can market with. And then we have them draw like a short comic series, and it just lets us work with different people we have a good time. It advances the story. You know, it's just fun. Like we said,
it's cool because it's something a little bit different, like you said. Then, well, the next is probably arguably your most popular series, and that's Dan's Jams. You have a lot of fun with that, or shall I say, the rest of the staff has a lot of fun at your expense, but you take it like a champ. So, kind of tell people about that because that's really grown its some legs of its own, and I know you guys just recently released a few more in the series. So, talk about that.
So like the fruited sour thing phenomenon has been going on for a number of years, and you know, when we were contract brewing out of Peabody, like we couldn't really do that. It wasn't really an option, so we couldn't dip our toe into that or many other styles. You know, people say, you know, we just got into hazies, we just got into this. You know, you're really limited when you have to make such huge batches and then you're at the behest of whatever your parent brewery is going to let you do.
Right.
So we've really been able to grow what we can do here. One of the things we wanted to do is come up with a fruited sour series. And Jordan, our brewer, it happened kind of right before the pandemic was going to hit. It's like a lot of the good things that we did. He came up with this idea just to mock me because I never got excited for sours. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that I didn't want Full Tilt Brewing to make them. It's just I don't get excited to drink them. We sit around, taste beers, talk to each other about, well, what do you think about this? And I just, you know, I'm kind of like, eh. You know, I don't care for that one. I like drinking Pilsners, lager, you know, different light lagers, IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
This is my preference. I like Imperial stuff, but you know, that's just what I get excited to drink. And he comes up with this idea for Dance Jams. It's kind of a play off the fact that I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan and that I don't actually really like sours or fruited sours. You know, so he has me kind of like laying back in my pool, you know, hanging out, like jamming to my Pearl Jam. And, you know, I'm supposed to be drinking my fruited sours and they put me in a pool of fruit.
Yeah.
And so he comes up with like four initial batches and they kind of hit right at the right time, right as like end of April, early May, right as everyone's like, you know, basically floating their livers, drinking like fish because like they're stuck at home and they can't go anywhere.
Right.
And I mean, not that those are so high ABV that you could be that irresponsible, but he just hit at the right time. There was two fruit combinations that came up. To start, I remember it was like boysenberry and pomegranate, and I forget the other one. And then it was something else, like a malty berry had like pretty much all the fruits in there.
Yeah, like a blackberry, raspberry, boysenberry,
black currant, or something like that. And then it was sour gummy worms, like, and like that was like the next, or like that was three and four, and like, you know, in a short run, and it just exploded from there. And people just really loved what Jordan was doing. It hit at the right time. People found the marketing to be fun. They found like what we were doing in our story to be fun. And it just kind of took off. And, you know, sometimes in business, like, you know, it just takes a little bit of luck, like whether it's timing. It's just, you know, sometimes you just have to be a little bit lucky. I think pretty much anyone would tell you that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's but yeah, so they find clever ways to mock me in the different labels, whether it be some musical artists that I do like too much, or some musical artists that I don't like at all, or just different things that are like harass me in my life that they just drop in, you know, in the corner of the label.
Yeah, there's Easter eggs all over every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And I think when you touched on that gummy worms one, I think Chris Sands from the Uncapped podcast, he put it best. That was the one. Like that, after that one, people went nuts. I know, I really enjoyed it. Like that literally was like eating sour gummy worms, and then it just felt like the Dan Jam stuff just took off and people couldn't wait for the next combination.
Yeah, and Chris, I'll tell you, Chris was the first person to tell me basically like, you really have something here, and I'm just like, okay, thanks, like it's selling well. And then and he's just like, no, I don't think you understand, like you're really like on the precipice of like something big. And, you know, and so he started inserting himself into it. Like, I think you need glassware because he's a glassware nerd.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, he came up with these different things. And then so Jordan just came up with the idea of just having like, all right, well, you know, Chris is such a big fan. Why don't we do Sands Jams?
Yeah.
You know? And that beer killed because he's obsessed with mango. Mango, I don't know. Everyone loves mango. It's one of my favorite fruits anyway. And so that beer killed, and it's just kind of, I don't know. It helps to have someone in your corner telling you something like, hey, you're, this thing you're doing, like, it's going to do, like, you know, it's really going somewhere. It just helps to have someone help lift you up.
Absolutely. So, he's outside looking in, so he's, you know, there's kind of a reason to tell you something that isn't true. And, you know, obviously, Chris has always got his finger on the pulse of things and is very connected to craft beer here in Maryland. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and he'll tell me if he doesn't like something, too. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, whether I like it or not.
That's true. Well, we'll talk about that. Because they're, you know, such heavily fruited and adjuncted sours, have you had to change anything in your canning methods or adapt how you distribute to avoid the whole exploding cans and, you know, worry about storage and things?
That's an interesting question. We've really done nothing to a degree. Yeah. So the spirits are completely... aside from good brewing methods, so like they, you know, they don't have like microbial like infections, so like they don't just explode in a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is going to be some re-fermentation. We don't filter here, and you know, and so there is going to be some suspended yeast in there.
Right.
And you introduce these different sugars, whether they be fruit, candy, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some kind of re-fermentation, and eventually, you know, you're going to have pressure and you're going to pop.
Yeah.
We've just accepted it. And you know, the way that we were operating during the peak of the pandemic, everything's flying out of here. Right. So
right.
It's not so bad. Like, you know, if things sell out in a day, you don't have to worry about it. You tell everyone to keep it cold.
Right.
It says on the can, keep it cold. We started, kind of handing out inserts with each of these releases that says like that kind of just explains like, hey, look,
this is a living product.
What is going to happen, because you know, people have cans pop once in a while.
Right.
You know, you might not be like kind of one of those fruited sour heads where like you really understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I keep beer cold anyway.
Right.
You know, honestly, everyone should keep their beers cold, whether it be mm-hmm. Coors Light. Whether it be the snow-capped Pilsner that you're drinking that I will want to talk about before we finish.
For sure.
But whether it be like your hazy, like all these beers should be kept cold. Like they all degrade. It's just the fruited sours is next level problems because it's exploding.
Right.
But we're really just relying on an educated consumer. I mean, is it going to draw complaints and ire at times? Yes. But we're not stripping away any flavor. We're still small, and this is all the only way we can afford to do it. So,
well, I was curious because when we talk with Ty at Hysteria, same thing. They don't filter. One of the things that Ty mentioned early was that they had to stop distributing their Happy Little Accent series because that sour series, same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't really control some of the distributors, and they'd say, "Hey, keep this cold. Don't put this on the shelf." But they couldn't control it. And so they ran into some issues with people not doing what they were supposed to, people not listening to the labeling on the can. And it got to a point where he's like, you know, a few people just ruined it for everybody. And then we moved it to tap room only and we wouldn't distribute, which, you know, he said, I hate to have to do that to some of our other distributors. He goes, but, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, it's a living product. He goes, you can't let that thing warm up to, you know, 60 degrees and not think that the yeast isn't going to wake up and go, oh, sugar, and then just start chewing away.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did maybe omit like the fact that like basically at the time that we started just selling most everything out of here at that time.
Okay.
So this current version of Full Tilt Brewing, you know, we're really supposed to be a tap room, like tavern, live entertainment type of place. We're not set up to be a production facility. We don't even have a legitimate loading dock. So, you know, we're just doing what we can. So really, like, you know, to recoup what we lost in retail sales or, you know, over the bar sales, like we stopped distributing and selling literally everything out of here, which also allowed us, you know, to sell Dan's Jams as is intended, as cold as possible. And, you know, we're able to take care of it. We can't distribute that in a normal avenue.
Right.
You know, they're all going to mishandle it. Not necessarily on the distributor, but you know, whichever store wants to buy it, you just can't control what they do.
Right.
So I don't know, you only have so many choices, and you know, you can either be in this game or you cannot.
Right.
So
Well, I think it was a good move. Like you said, mm-hmm. you pull it back and you control it and you can tell people mm-hmm. what they need to do and all. So the next series I want to talk about is you have some wrestling themed beers. So talk a little bit about that because they're very cleverly done and there's something that's fairly new.
Yeah. So one of our best friends, Scooter Christoffeld, he's a bartender at Max's.
Right?
Yeah.
Love that place.
Yeah. Yep. Love Max's, love Scooter.
Yep.
And he has like a brand that he's working on, Humble Beer Society. And okay. basically, you know, he's just trying to be positive within the beer community. And he, Max's kind of works with him. He does like some streams and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, which, you know, it's good. There's too much negativity in beer sometimes.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, Scooter, you know, lived in Canton right by, down the street from Nick. And those two watched wrestling. You know, Scooter still doesn't have any kids. And before Nick did, like, you know, they get together and watch the pay-per-view events and mm-hmm. Monday Night Raw or whatever's still going. And so so they really just, like, embraced wrestling. And, you know, they just thought, you know, it's again, like, involved with Full Tilt Brewing, like, you know, we're all about having fun. And they kind of want to embrace some of these wrestling heroes or likeness is similar to them. And yeah, so we did a again, like early on in the pandemic, like or like right as it was about to hit, they did an East Coast hazy IPA that like kind of resembled John Cena, some people might say.
Yeah.
And then they did a West Coast IPA that might have resembled Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. And those beers did really well. And then we just brought it back kind of hypothetically to honoring what was it, SummerSlam 1997, in which Undertaker was having a match against Bret Hart,
mm-hmm.
and Shawn Michaels was like the guest referee.
Yeah,
it's cut off, you know, guns in his referee shirt. And so, you know, we did.
That's the one you're drinking there, right? The Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, the Hop Break Kid.
Nice.
So the Undertaker was a. You know, oxymoron, the black IPA, Cascadian Dark, whatever we want to call it.
For sure.
And we had the Hop Man. Then we had the Hop Break Kid. So that was the hazy. Yeah, the Hop Man was a West Coast and Hop Break Kid was a hazy.
Okay.
We surprised Scooter with this, like literally on canning day. He didn't know what was happening. And then we just hit him. Yeah, we hit him with it. So, yeah, he was pumped. But it's just a lot of fun. It's just about having fun, it's nostalgia, close to likeness.
Well, let me ask you then, have you had any response, acknowledgement, recognition at all from WWE?
No, I'm not sure we'd be looking for that. But,
no, because no. That's what I was going to say. I know that when Ty and them did the hashtag MVP with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens a few years back, they had some interesting exchanges that they talked about with the NFL because they're like, we didn't know. And so they kind of went some round and round about, you know, what can they tweak and what can they use and what can they vary and all. And so,
yeah, I think they flew a little closer to the sun. And and I've heard what, yeah.
They did tag the Ravens when then they released it.
Yeah,
it
if you look at what they originally did, and they went a whole lot further, and that's not our intention.
No, you guys have done a variant enough, but I just wasn't sure how that kind of showed up.
No.
That's a good thing. Like you said, fly under the radar.
Yeah, we're not trying to get that close.
Well, where can people find Full Tilt online? You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, so everything is, you know, at Full Tilt Brewing. Okay. There's no variants or anything. Facebook at Full Tilt Brewing, Twitter at Full Tilt Brewing, Instagram at Full Tilt Brewing. So, yeah.
That's good. We'll get that up on our show notes and on our website at sharepintpodcast.com. Well, we've learned about Full Tilt. Let's get to know you a little better, Dan. We have a new segment called Straight from the Tap. It's a series of 7 rapid-fire questions. If you want to expand on them a little bit, that's totally up to you, or we can just kind of fire them through. So are you up for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, what's your favorite style of beer?
Oh, gosh. I still have to say IPA, I guess. But Pilsner is 1A, so I want to drink them both and alternate.
Nice. What style that you wish that more people appreciated, drank, or brewed?
I'm going to have to say the craft Pilsner.
Okay.
Everyone, yeah, as you drink the Snowcat.
So good.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so yeah, I'll expand upon that one real fast. Jerry's drinking the Snowcap Pilsner that we did in collaboration with Zane Lamprey's like adventure company, and Barks, raising money for animal rescue. We're doing an event to help Baltimore area rescue animals. So it's a great cause. It's a great beer. But basically, I find it impossible to find like good local like craft pilsners. Like I find it literally impossible to find in the store. And what I mean is that like you could go to the store, but like that beer might be a year old. So it's really tough. You know, I hate to say I would preach going to the brewery to go find that. Because like that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I wish I could find. I think it's a little easier to find fresh IPAs these days than it is craft pilsners.
Right. Well, I think that's fair. And when we talked with Zach at 1623 Brewing, he's a big classic Skiles guy, and that was one of the things he said. He kind of challenged me to say, hey, when I go to a new brewery, one of the first things I do is I look for a lager, look for a pilsner, I look for something like that. He goes, because you can't hide behind those beers. He said, if you have a brewing flaw, it's going to surface. He said, so you're going to find out how good of a brewer they are right off the bat with those clean classic styles. He said, then you can move to the other things and you're going to have a pretty good idea of what you're going to get. And so that kind of really opened my eyes and I started going back more to the classic style. So I think you're right. I think it takes a lot of brewing competence to be brewing those and be bold and not hide behind anything. And maybe some people just would rather stick with what's popular.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But I think it's more like in the package world, it's more about like just this consumer economics. Like when you're at the store and you're like at the bar, no one cares what anything costs. No one pays any attention. But then when you're at the store, everyone's like an economist and they're like, well, a Miller Lite six pack costs $10. But like Full Tilt's six pack could cost 14, same alcohol percentage, more or less. Yeah. And they're just like, nah. You know, like that's the type of thing that happens. Whereas like, you know, like that's why like the IPA boom with like the higher ABV, that's how I think that like that the craft brewing world was able to get in, because everything everyone was drinking was a lower like threshold. And, you know, like I think that is honestly how we cracked in. I know people could argue and say, oh, it's all about quality. Yes, it is. But it's not about you just have to find a way to grab people's attention. And I think that's kind of how it goes. And that's what makes it so tough about a craft lager.
Right.
Yeah, so for sure that's my answer.
No, I agree. Who are one or two of your biggest influences?
Gosh, how to answer that at all. Goodness, my influences. I guess I would just say... my wife and my dad. I don't know how the hell else to answer that question.
Hey, whatever it means to you.
Yeah, I mean, my wife that I live with that puts up with my bullshit. And and my dad that like helps mentor me and helps me through stuff through here. And yeah, he's one of the first people that signed on as an investor when you could and helps us do all kinds of different stuff through here. But yeah, I don't really idolize celebrities too much.
No, I think those are good, close to the home. Who would you most like to do a collab with that you haven't?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't think about that too much. That's more Jordan's territory. I don't really have an answer to that, I hate to say.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
How about the most memorable place you've ever had a beer?
Oh, man. A tough question. All right. I drank a Baltimore Pale Ale on Alcatraz Island that I smuggled onto there. So,
what?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you like put it in your pocket or something? Or?
My wife's purse.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I drank it out on the prison yard.
Okay, that's going to be hard for anybody to top. All right, future guests, that's going to be hard for you to top. That's very cool. So what person, living or dead, would you most like to share a pint with? And what would it be a pint of?
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't think about things like this. Goodness. Aside from the cheap cop out would just say like dead relatives. So like I'll just throw them out of there. Is, you know, I should want to drink with all of them or just my dad that's alive. But I just finished this Babe Ruth book, and you know, I was born across the street from the orphanage that he lived at. So I guess I would drink with him, and I would drink the strongest thing we had.
Nice.
And just listen to whatever nonsense he has to say.
Cool.
So yeah.
That's good. See, these are good answers. Okay, last one. When COVID is over and travel is safe again, where are you most looking forward to drinking a beer?
I want to drink a beer here with no COVID restrictions. Like that's just a cheap answer.
No, it's
but
good.
I really don't care about traveling anywhere. I mean, yeah, like I like to go to California, or I don't know. I like to travel around, but I just want to travel here with zero restrictions.
Awesome.
Yeah, so.
Good. Okay, well, let's shift back to the brewery and let us know what we can expect from Full Tilt coming in the next several months. You know, events, collabs, releases, anything like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just finished up our 420 launch with some fun stuff, the glowy beers, the gummy worms, and the Man Bun Joe. Mm-hmm. It's been some wild stuff with the terpenes and all that. Mm-hmm. I know to circle back to our guy, Chris Sands,
mm-hmm.
we're doing a Candy Sands Jams. It's kind of a callback to the Sands Jams thing that we did. So that's going to be mango candy and pineapple candy. That should be fun. I mean, he deserves that at least. He makes a bunch of dumb videos with us to include, gosh, what have we done here? Some Jurassic Park video recently, and
he had a Willy Wonka one that was pretty solid.
He's done so many videos, so Sans gets credit. So we're doing that, and then we have a collaboration with Homemade and Brewery Fire. Brewery Fire, another Carroll County brewery.
Yep, right up there.
Yeah, great guys, Jesse and Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be another Candy Dan special with Red Hots and honey, so that should be interesting.
Wow, yeah.
Slightly less palatable than Sans Jams, perhaps, but yeah, we have that. Could try to do some more Hops the Cat variants, and then just hopefully kind of just more open this place up. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy.
Just getting people back in the chat room, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're really just kind of considering like different concert options, but it's just so hard. It's just like, you know, do you want to book a big concert with like such and such band? How can you say like when the mask like orders are going to end and like the 6 feet away? And just, you know, I'm not going to argue with how they come up with these things, but how do you like as a person involved in the entertainment industry, like how do you play in that?
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, when is it going to end?
Right.
I have no clue.
Right.
Like there's a zero indication.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Because like concert venues, like they operate like with people on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Every bar is fire code capacity. It does not involve people sitting six to a table, 6 feet away. You know, your rent, like any place that like that decided to go in on a in on rent, they did not assume what we're dealing with. And you know, how do you make ends meet? So when does it end?
Right.
You know,
if it's not an outdoor arena where you've got a little more space to spread out, like you said, an indoor facility.
But even then, they pack them in. Yeah. You would go to Merriweather, like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
That, you know, in 2021, like, you know, that looks like an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
And they were almost barely skating by.
Right.
So, like, how does the world work under the, you know, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
So, like, I accept the reality, you know, I want people to be safe, but it's just if you have anything at stake in this world, what are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, is there anything else that you'd like our audience to know that we haven't talked about or covered?
I think that's about it. You know, we appreciate all the enthusiasm, but everything's been awesome, and we really appreciate everyone sticking with us throughout the pandemic. You know, we got to know a lot of people throughout, you know, the delivery phase.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of has to end, because the delivery really only worked through most of the state because the traffic was non-existent, you know, because no one was on the road.
Right.
But now you go back out, and I don't know if it's all the way back to pre-2020, but you know, we're getting close. Mm-hmm. So, we appreciate everyone. We just hope we can keep our momentum going, and that everyone can appreciate what they learned from us during the pandemic, and that we can kind of grow together and open up and, you know, obviously safely have fun, have some concerts literally right where we sit, mm-hmm. because that's where they all happen. We just can't wait.
Well, again, remind everyone where they can find Full Tilt online.
Yeah, Facebook at Full Tilt Brewing, Instagram at Full Tilt Brewing, Twitter at Full Tilt Brewing. No TikTok yet.
We'll put that up on our website at sharepintpodcast.com so everybody can find it. Well, Dan, I want to thank you for your time and for sharing a pint with me.
Cheers, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint and like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share a Pint is now a proud member of the Hopped Up Network. Enjoy the show and like to contribute? Consider leaving a PayPal tip. You can do so at the PayPal button on our website at sharepintpodcast.com or search for us on PayPal at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod and can be found online at incompetech.com. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.